Wall Street ends a wild spring.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street begins its trading day. On the last week of spring, the Dow has plunged and soared and plunged and soared. And in a moment, I will ask whether the stock market is worth worrying about over your vacation weekend. But first, what about now? Where is Wall Street? Well, after yesterday's 284-point frolic, the Dow is down 40 points, now at 10,218. And the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are also down about 0.4%. Shares in Europe are mixed now. Asia rose more than 1% overnight. Oil is back around $75 a barrel, but gasoline will be at its cheapest since March as drivers take to the roads for the Memorial Day weekend. Now let's say good morning to Chief Economist Chris Lowe from FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
As I said, stocks have been dizzying lately. Should our holiday be troubled by visions of double dips?
I don't think so. I think the economy is going to be just fine. But certainly we've seen some tremendous gyrations on the stock market, and people are worried. What I'm focused on right now more than anything else is any indication of consumer anxiety in the data. And by the way, we had consumer confidence numbers this week that actually rose to a new post-recession high, and also indications of weakness in the labor market. And there, too, the news has been good. We've seen from regional Federal Reserve banks that hiring plans are actually picking up around the country. So I am confident the economy will be fine, but boy, it's nerve-wracking watching the markets.
And then briefly, Chris, you mentioned consumer confidence up by one measure, but this morning the government told us consumer spending just showed its weakest performance in 7 months. Any trouble there?
I don't think so. Yeah, these are the April consumption numbers. They were unchanged, but we had 0.5% growth in both February and March. So what we're seeing is that consumers are holding spending at a fairly high level. So I think we're just fine.
Chris Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial. I like the optimism heading into Memorial Day. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The oil spill, speaking of, this would be the opposite of optimism. That Gulf spill is the nation's largest ever, and BP says it won't know till Sunday whether it's been able to plug the gusher with drilling mud. While BP works that out, President Obama is heading to the Gulf to see the damage for himself. And Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
BP has continued a procedure this morning to stuff drilling mud into its leaking well. The company now says it's had partial success, but it won't know for 48 hours whether the operation has stopped the flow completely. In recent days, oil has advanced on at least 150 miles of beaches and marshland. It's poisoned the lucrative Gulf fishing industry indefinitely and brought tourism to an abrupt halt. David Morris with Alitech is consulting on BP's current spill. He says shelving the oil dispersant BP was using has slowed the containment process.
As soon as dispersants were stopped for 4 days, that oil has proceeded toward the shoreline. We have much greater environmental damage. We have many more bird deaths.
BP stopped using the dispersant after the EPA documented that the product was poisonous. The company was unable to find a less toxic alternative. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, May 28th at Marketplace.org. Arizona's new law targeting undocumented immigrants hasn't taken effect yet, but activists are not waiting. Tomorrow, protesters take to the streets in Arizona and 22 other states. Some of those marching in solidarity will be union leaders. As Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, labor has a vested interest in the debate.
Anyone working in the U.S. needs at least a visa to do so legally. But there's no such requirement for joining a union.
For unions to organize workers, they can't ask to see their green card first and then have them sign a union card second. They seek to organize everyone in a workplace, whatever their immigration status.
That's Harley Shaken, a professor at UC Berkeley specializing in labor issues.
Many of these industries that have a lot of immigrant workers are vital for the growth of unions.
Labor leaders voice other motivations. Ana Avendano with the AFL-CIO says the new law could have a chilling effect on worker complaints.
Our employment laws rely on workers to file complaints with the government to expose dangerous workplaces, non-payment of wages, discrimination, and other violations of law.
She says the Arizona law could be used to bust unions. When faced with a picket line, Avendano says employers could just call the sheriff and have their problems deported. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Lavish spending in professional sports is commonplace here in the U.S. It's now become a feature of European soccer. But many of the biggest clubs are in debt and facing bankruptcy, and now the European governing body has agreed on new rules designed to stop clubs from spending more than they earn. Any clubs that fail to comply could be thrown out of European competitions. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from London.
Big salaries are a major part of the European game. The highest paid players earn around $300,000 a week. And clubs also pay transfer fees when stars move from one team to another. Last summer, the Spanish club Real Madrid paid more than $100 million for Ronaldo. Rob Faulkner's from European Soccer's governing body and says action was needed.
Our intention has been to curb the inflationary spiral of wages and transfers and make, hopefully in the future, then make clubs live within their means.
A recent report found that half of Europe's leading clubs were losing money and 20% faced financial peril. Faulkner says smaller clubs especially have been overstretching themselves, trying to keep up with the big boys. He hopes the new rules will help by limiting the amount of money poured into clubs by rich investors. But Faulkner insists it's not about making all clubs equal. And if they generate the money from ticket sales and TV revenue, then they can spend it. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer reporting for Marketplace.
Seventy-five years ago tomorrow, one of the biggest public works projects in America was completed. The Hoover Dam created jobs during the Depression and helped tame the wild Southwest with water and electricity. Could another Hoover Dam happen today? Marketplace's John Dimsdale takes a look.
Hoover Dam harnessed the power of the Colorado River to generate reliable electricity for Southern California, Las Vegas, and many of the factories that helped win World War II. University of California Energy Professor Daniel Kamen says the Hoover Dam was a visionary public-private partnership.
That was essentially a government-designed vision, and it found partners in the private sector, it found partners in the developer of many of the big cities in the Southwest. So that tied together an energy plan and a development plan.
Hoover Dam was finished in 5 years, 2 years ahead of schedule, and cost a mere $49 million. That's less than $750 million in today's dollars.
Well, I do not think that a project like Hoover Dam could ever get off the ground today.
Joseph Stevens, the author of Hoover Dam and American Adventure, says worker safety rules and environmental impact assessments would make the Hoover Dam too expensive today.
One of the reasons that Hoover Dam was built so cheaply was because there really were no protections for the workers. They were not unionized, and it was possible to compel them to work 7 days a week. They got Christmas and the 4th of July off, and that was it.
Over 100 of the 5,000 construction workers were killed. Despite the desire for modern-day job-stimulating clean energy projects, Stephen says the Hoover Dam flooded wildlife habitats and changed the natural flow of the Colorado in ways that would never pass today's environmental impact assessments. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, here is the entire week's business news for you in just a Marketplace minute. I hope BP will have the skill to use Top Kill to stop the spill that fills the gills and kills the krill. Still on Capitol Hill, the thrill of the drill is nil. And as predicted, drilling's restricted. The drug's more expensive, and we're still addicted. Euro debt has yet to vanish, first the Greeks and now the Spanish. And Berlusconi lamented a little. He said that the markets are governing Italy. Continental hasn't decided if it's going to fly United. Reviews are out for Sex and the City, and critics agree the film is underwhelming. And the biggest tech firm the world has got used to be Microsoft. Now it is not. Apple surpassed it, but Google's amassed the unsurpassed vastness to blast right past it. Who knows who the Google killer will be, but you'll hear it at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.